Good morning.
All right. Jesus Revealed, part 38. So as Lisa mentioned, we're going to wrap up the series today. Obviously, you know the themes, right? Who do you say Jesus is personally? We've been asking that question all year. And it stems from Matthew 16, where Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" That question doesn't get old. It may feel old for you, right? You may be in a space, "I'm tired of hearing that question." But the reality is it doesn't get old, right? Because it's a question that's alive. Because we navigate through life and circumstances, and it has the intent of the enemy is that it would derail us. It would take our eyes off the truth of who Jesus really is, and it would throw us off course. And so it's always sort of good to come back to a realignment and say, who do I really say he is, right? In light of this, in light of that, in light of that. And so we've been pressing in for a deeper revelation of who Jesus really is because we believe that there's a greater measure of abundant life for us to access. The greater measure that we have the truth of who he really is, it opens up the door for us to access the fullness of who he is. And those in our spheres of influence are longing for us to reveal the authentic Jesus, right? You're his hands and feet in your neighborhood. You're his hands and feet at your workplace, at the supermarket, at the DMV, wherever you find yourself, the doctor's office, the hospital, right? Driving down 101, that's who you are, right? And we can only give away what we have authentically, right? Can only share with integrity the Jesus that you've encountered. That's what you have power to release. That's what you have authority to release into the lives of those in your spheres of influence. And so, therefore, who you say Jesus is really critical in terms of it's very significant for you to know, who do I really say he is? Who have I really experienced him to be? And this year, we've been on this journey of looking at the Apostle John, the disciple John, and we've so sort of followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, and felt like he said, put on John's glasses to look at Jesus. What's John's experience of who Jesus really is? And is there anything that we as disciples here in this day and age, can we learn anything from John? Can we learn anything from that lens? And so we've covered the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelations 1 through 3. And out of that, we've identified 268 revelation statements about who Jesus is. And so every week, you know, you've had an invitation from the Holy Spirit. I've had an invitation from the Holy Spirit. 38 weeks, you've had an invitation from the Holy Spirit to press in for more, right? To allow Jesus to shine his light on your heart and your mind, right? You come and you unveil yourself. You say, okay, here I am. And to reveal what you actually really believe. And that's the quest that we've been on. And so in light of day-to-day, what do you really believe about who Jesus is? After going through this year, what do you really believe? Has anything changed? Is anything different today than it was whenever the first message was? I don't know, the first Sunday in January, right? Is anything different about what your view of Jesus is? Has anything been strengthened? Has anything been shaped, right? In light of adverse circumstances, what do you really believe about who Jesus is? Some of you have had adverse circumstances this year. Mountains that you never imagined would be possible for you to have to go through, whether that's personally or in your family or in your business, right? And just your life or your loved ones. There's things that you've had to travail through. And as you've done that, have you looked at who do I really say Jesus is as I'm walking through this? Right? What do you really believe about who Jesus is in light of your past? Have you taken any time to sort of think back, right, to when you were a child or in your adolescence or in early 20s or 30s, or however old you are, right? Last year, is there anything that you have grown to see Jesus in a new light because you took time to reflect on that? Or in your present or as you think about the future, who do you say Jesus really is? What are the mindsets that you're convinced of? You can't be shaken from. Is there anything that's been solidified this year for you about Jesus that you know that you know that you know? Nothing can rock that, no matter what I go through. I'm convinced, fully convinced, that this is who Jesus is, right? Or what are the mindsets that you're still working out? It's not bad to be in a place of still working out your mindsets, right? There's questions as we go through life. What do I really believe? I read the word, I see the truth, but my life doesn't seem to match up with that. That can cause questions for you. That's a good place to be as you process with the Holy Spirit. We often say this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Right? That what you really believe, how you navigate through life, through the highs and the lows, really reveals sort of that the essence of what we believe or who you would say Jesus is. And so I felt like as a way to wrap up this series, the Holy Spirit sort of took the whole of what we've looked at in Scripture, and he highlighted 10 themes that have been revealed by John. Obviously, these are not the only themes that are in the writings of John that we've looked at, but these are the 10 that I felt like he said, stress those today, highlight those today. And so we're just going to go through those. The first is beloved, this concept of being beloved, right? Jesus was declared by the Father to be his beloved son before he did any ministry. He was beloved. It never changed. The belovedness of the Father that was on towards Jesus never changed. It was always on. And then we see John describe himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. There was a sense that he got that belovedness. He received that. He was able to receive that from Jesus. And then we see in his letters to his disciples, right, the disciples in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, his language to those followers of Jesus, he calls them beloved. There's something that's getting released from Jesus to John to the disciples. Do you know that you know that you know that you are beloved? Are you convinced? Where nothing could shake it from you. No bad circumstance, no adverse thing that happens in your life, right? You know it's not based on behavior or good works. Your belovedness never changes. Even if you mess up, your belovedness never changes. And Jesus revealed the Father's heart that his love is always on towards you. And ultimately, is this the Jesus that you know? Right? The second one is light. He talks a lot about light in the Gospel of John and the letters of John. Jesus shines light to reveal your heart and mind. He shines light to expose areas of your life where you are believing a lie. Right? If there's something that you're believing that just isn't true, he's going to shine light on that. He shines light to lead you in a greater measure of abundant life. And Jesus shines light because he's for you. Do you believe that? Right? His goal is never to condemn or shame or ridicule you. It's very different. If you think Jesus shines light because he wants to expose everything that's wrong with you, to humiliate you, that's a different picture than a Jesus that's shining light to expose what you're believing that isn't true so he can lead you into a measure of abundant life. So what do you believe, right? Which one are you going to pick, right? Jesus shines light to invite you into the more. But ultimately, is this the Jesus that you know? Number three has to do with abundant life. Jesus came to give life and life abundant, right? Those are his words. Every encounter with Jesus contains the opportunity for a greater measure of abundant life. So remember, think a little bit about his encounters, right? Mostly in the Gospel of John with Nicodemus. Embedded in that encounter, there was the opportunity for a greater measure of abundant life for Nicodemus. Or the woman at the well, the man who was born blind, right? Lazarus, he experienced a little greater measure of abundant life, right? What about Mary and Martha? You guys remember how Jesus interacted with them differently based on the questions of their heart? They said the same words, but what was really going on the inside was different, and Jesus recognized that. So he met them in a different place. What about Peter? Think about Jesus' interaction with Peter, right? Or John. What about John? All the interactions that he had, seeing Jesus, walking with Jesus, eating with Jesus, being sent out to do ministry by Jesus. There's a lot of interactions. All of it, every one of those interactions had the potential to lead him to a greater measure of abundant life. What about the disciples who received John's letters? Right? He shined a lot of light through the letters. He shined a lot of light exposing what was sort of going on, revealing God's heart for them, right? And yet, embedded in every encounter that they could have with Jesus, there's a greater measure of life that's available. And then think about yourself or myself, right? Today, it's still true today. Every encounter you have with Jesus, we just had an encounter as we worshiped him. That right there, there's a seed that has the power to transform your life, that encounter, right? Jesus can't force us to choose life. He won't. He won't force us to choose life. It's not the way he works. But he always leads us in the direction of life. He says, come follow me. Where is he going? He's always walking towards life and life abundant, right? And so he's saying, come follow me. I believe Jesus' goal is always to set captives free. That's the desire of his heart. He can't make you access it, but he'll invite you into greater measures of life. Is this the Jesus that you know? Number four, Jesus is God. It's pretty evident in John's writings that John was convinced that Jesus was God. He reveals Jesus to be one with God. Jesus was before all creation. He has authority over all things. And he was sent by the Father to restore relationship with mankind back to the Father. And so belief in Jesus is the only way to the Father. John was convinced of it. That to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, was the Savior, he was the one. And to believe in him was the only way that you could get access to the Father. Is this the Jesus that you know? Number five, believing in Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Right? John, again, was convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Savior. He's the Lord over all, that his death and resurrection was sufficient. It was enough. And belief in Jesus is the only way to access that eternal life that Jesus promised for those who believe. Is that the Jesus you know? Number six, Jesus only does what he sees the Father doing, and he only shares what he hears the Father saying. We said that a lot. I say that a lot. I think I say that often, even when we don't do John, right? But as I love that. But if you want to know the Father's heart, just look at Jesus. If you want to know what the Father really cares about, look at Jesus. When Jesus walked on earth, what did he do? Right? You can think outside of the context of John, but obviously for this series, we're looking at John. But think of all Jesus's interactions. Right? What did Jesus say? How did he live? Who did Jesus pursue? Who did he go after? And how did Jesus handle adversity? How did Jesus handle apparent lack? Was he ever fazed by it? Right? How did Jesus handle opposition? He experienced a lot of opposition. How did he handle it? It gives you a window into the Father's heart. Jesus represents the Father. Jesus reveals the Father because Jesus and the Father are one in spirit. They're connected, right? Is this the Jesus that you know? Jesus calls us and declares our identity to us. So Jesus pursues you. Whether you have a relationship as you hear the sound of my voice today, or if you're listening on the podcast, Jesus pursues you. He chooses you and he continues to choose you, right? again and again and again and again. Like, that's one of the beautiful things in marriage, right? Is you get the opportunity to choose your spouse every day. I choose you again. I choose you again. I choose you again. Jesus, you know, he's the bridegroom. And he says to his bride, I choose you again. And so if you have a relationship with Jesus, you're a part of that bride. And he says to you, I choose you again. And his eyes are radiant, right? Some of those pictures in Revelations that we saw, his eyes are on towards you and he's enamored by you because he loves you, right? Jesus is always drawing near to you. He's always drawing near to you. I loved what we talked about in worship today, whether you feel it or not. He's always drawing near to you. And you were created to hear his voice, and you hear it well, right? It says in John that his sheep know his voice. He's the good shepherd. You know his voice. If you're identified with him, if you're a son or daughter, you know his voice. And Jesus also, he knows how to get your attention. All right, I love this. One of the members of our congregation, he sent me a slide with me actually saying that this week. And it reminded me of that truth, that no matter what, Jesus knows how, he knows you and he knows how to get your attention. If he wants to get your attention, he can get your attention, right? He reveals your true identity as a son or a daughter of God. And then he empowers you to walk in the truth of your identity and your destiny. He empowers you to walk in authority. He entrusted you with all authority, and then he empowers you to actually carry that out. Is this the Jesus that you know? Number 8, one of John's main themes is abiding, right? Jesus invites you into deep intimacy. He longs to be really, really, really close with you. And he longs for you to abide in him as he abides in the Father. Like, why could Jesus share the things that he saw the Father doing or declare the things that he heard the Father saying? Because he was abiding with the Father always. And that's the model relationship that he desires for us to have with him. And his promise is to abide in you. And one thing we know about Jesus is he's faithful to keep his promises, and he's also capable of keeping that promise. His desire for you is, and him, is to be one, that you would walk with Jesus so intimately that when others see you, they recognize him. They see Jesus in you because you represent Jesus in your sphere of influence. You're the one in that grouping of people. And there may be other believers that interface with individuals, but for whenever you have an interaction with another person, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, you have the opportunity to represent Jesus because Christ in you is the hope of glory, right? And so you lay down your life like he did and does, right? We said it earlier in pre-service prayer that his blood is still fresh on the altar. It's still fresh. It'll never go dry. It's still liquid. It's still powerful. It's still potent, right? You lay down your life like he did and does. You love like he did and does. You usher in the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, like he did and does. Abiding's the key to all of those things. Every single one of those, abiding's the key. It's that connection with Jesus. Is this the Jesus that you know? Number 9. Unity. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. Triune God, they each have individual roles, but they're one in spirit and in truth, right? And as a son or daughter of God, you become a member of Jesus's body. It's one of the benefits. It's one of the way it works, right? And so Jesus longs for his body to have unity with him. Does that make sense? What do you have if the body doesn't have unity with the head? You got some chaos, right? So he longs for his body to have unity with him, and he longs for his body to have unity with one another. So loving like Jesus is the key to hosting true unity. You want to know how to grow in unity for the body of Christ? Love like Jesus did, right? It's that simple. Jesus, he never compromised truth to host unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is truth. So if he were to compromise truth, he would have had to compromise himself. So it's never a question of compromising truth. The reality is the kingdom is all about relationship. And Jesus models it. And so laying down our lives for one another, or laying down our own agendas, laying down our pride or our strong opinions, that's a key one, strong opinions. Laying down comparison, laying down jealousy, laying down our selfish ambition, all of these things lead us into greater unity and living in the overflow of the love of God. All those things. Every one of those things comes against love. And the reason why there may or may not be unity in the body of Christ, it all has to do with either love or lack of love on some level. And so Jesus, his heart is that we would be one like he is with the Father and the Holy Spirit, because we're part of his body. And that was a key theme for John. Is this the Jesus that you know? Right? Does his heart's cry for unity burn in you the same way it burns in him? And if it does, what might you have to do to pursue it to the same degree? Right? The last one deals with the commandments. And Jesus sort of, he said, love God and love one another. He condensed the commandments to two. He said, love God, right, with all that you are and all that you have. All of you sold out for him, right, in a nutshell. All of you, everything that you have, everything that you are, sold out to God, right? And then the second is to love one another. Again, to lay down your life for others, to love them like Jesus loves them, right? All of you sold out for others. All that you are, all that you have, all your dreams, hopes, ambitions, sold out for another person, other people. Right? Those are some big commandments. Right? And the reality is that Jesus empowers us with grace to keep both of those commandments. He would never command you to do something and then not empower you to be able to do it. He would not be a kind God. He would not be a good God if he were to do that. He doesn't say that it's easy, but he actually gives you the grace to actually do it, right? And so ultimately, is this the Jesus that you know? Right? So we'd be remiss if on the last message of this 38 message series, right, to ask the question, who's Jesus revealed in this sermon series? And so what we did as a leadership team is we developed a booklet, the Jesus Revealed booklet, and we're going to have these for you at the end of the service, but this is, it basically is a booklet that contains all of the 268 revelation statements. And what we were thinking is, you know, we say this often, but it's an invitation, right? So we've done this series in 2024. And you can turn the calendar and open up 2025, and you can leave this in 2024. Or you could take this into 2025, and you can use it sort of as a devotional. And maybe pick one a day or one a week, right? Take your time with it. And say, what do I really believe about that revelation statement? Do I really believe it? Do I really agree with it? Is there anything that the Lord would be highlighting that he would want me to press in for more? And ultimately, it's for you, right? So it's a gift from our house to you guys. And it sort of captures a lot of what we've done this year in terms of our pulpit ministry. So that'll be for you at the end. Ultimately, who do you say Jesus is, right? These questions we've asked. Do you just know about these truths, right? So 268 truths about Jesus, or do you know Jesus as these truths? Is this really the Jesus that you know? Are there aspects regarding these truths about Jesus that you want to press in and know more? All right, so you get to 143. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, look at that. 143. Jesus is the one who does what we ask in his name in order to glorify the Father. Do you know that Jesus? Does he look familiar? Does he smell familiar? Do he taste familiar? Right? Is that the Jesus you know? Right? And if not, you can take that and you can say, I want to know that Jesus. Right? And you can invite the Holy Spirit to shine light and say, why is that a hard one for me? Is there anything going on in my past or my present that makes it difficult for me to know Jesus in that light, the way that John did? Right? And if so, then the Holy Spirit will partner with you, right? Again, these questions of, you know, if not, why not, that kind of thing, they're never meant to be condemning. It's really, as we've said, it's an invitation to say, Holy Spirit, show me. I want to be this close with Jesus. I want to know every aspect about him, right? Every facet of the gem, I want to know. I want to experience. Twofold. One, because I know that if I know more of it, I'm going to have an increased measure of abundant life. And secondary, then I have resources that I can release to other people to reveal that aspect of Jesus to them because I've experienced it. Can you share the Jesus revealed in John's writings with integrity to those in your sphere of influence? It really is the ultimate question for the year. And are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take you deeper into encountering the fullness of Jesus? Right? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this year. I thank you for your word. Thanks that you are the word, right? Thanks that you became flesh. Thanks that you laid down your life that we could have life. Thanks that you revealed the heart of the Father. And we celebrate it. Thanks that you make a way where there's seemingly no way for us to have life, abundant life, eternal life. And it's for today. You empower us with grace to do the things that you commanded us, to love you and to love our others, to pursue unity and to abide in you, right? I praise you for that. Thanks that you created us to hear your voice and that we know it well. And we just pray for increased measures of our ability to hear and trust what we hear. And we just give you glory in that. Lord, we pray that you would take this series that we've done and that you would utilize it to advance your kingdom. Advance it inside of us first and then advance it through us into the lives of those in our spheres of influence. We just want to glorify you in this land. We want to glorify you in this nation and to the nations. And we want you to get the fame that you deserve. And we long for all those who don't have relationship with you to come into relationship with you. And we know that they can't come unless they hear. And so I just pray, Lord, would you continue to move in us to host more of your presence to help transform the world around us. Yeah. And we celebrate what you've done. We ask that you would seal the work that you've done in 2024 in our lives. And we pray, Jesus, that you would just continue to lead us and guide us as that the seeds that have been planted, as they germinate and as they grow, Lord, would you continue to protect them? And would it truly bring about a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold for your glory, for your glory? And I thank you that you never stop abiding in us. Never stop. And I pray that you would make us more aware of your abiding presence every single day. It would become so real and alive to us, so fresh to each person who hears the sound of my voice, the abiding presence of Jesus, and that you're that close, and you're longing for us to give you our hearts, to give you our thoughts, to talk with you, to share our lives with you, to be that connected with you and to feel your heartbeat and to host your heartbeat And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead us into the more. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one who can reveal and remind us of all the things that Jesus said and did. And so I pray that as we get ready to go into a new year, that you would remind us of everything that you had your thumb on in 2024 in our lives. Would you remind us of the things that you're working out, the things that you're leading us into, the ways that you long for us to grow, and that we would partner with you by leaning into you. Yeah. And we just give you all praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.